Madison author Jennifer Cheverini has completed 7 books about quilters. She sews quilts herself.
Well, I enjoy piecing my quilts by machine, and I enjoy quilting them by hand, and the quilting is the final part where you're sewing the 3 layers of the quilt together.
Characters in Cheverini's modern novels may use sewing machines, but the women in her historical fiction quilt by hand, and it's believed that some of those quilts were made to lend escaping slaves a hand. Many quilters contend they were makeshift maps which helped direct fugitives along the secret route to freedom known as the Underground Railroad. Cheverini says she started writing historical fiction after becoming intrigued by the folklore of quilts as signals.
So I had my characters engage in the debate just as quilters and historians today are engaging in this debate about the role of quilts in the Underground Railroad. And one of the characters from that book was named Dorothea. And
in Cheverini's book, The Sugar Camp Quilt, the young and independent Dorothea takes over her Uncle Jacob's role as station master for the Underground Railroad. Before his death, she's merely an unwitting accomplice. She has no idea the shack where her family boils down tree sap for maple sugar doubles as a hideout for slaves, or that one of her quilts inside is really a map for runaways. Cheverini lets readers in on Dorothea's discovery halfway through the novel.
She wondered how she had not noticed before how the number of triangles in the blocks mirrored the most prominent peaks of the mountain range. And these, she examined the 5 blocks Uncle Jacob had so deliberately sketched. These must be intermediate steps along the safest route north.
Suddenly, it all makes sense to Dorothea, why her uncle was anxious for her to make the quilt quickly and why he was angry when she strayed from the pattern he designed. The story how Dorothea helped slaves escape is set in Pennsylvania. It could have just as easily been Wisconsin. Wisconsin was one of the most radically abolitionist states in the Union and was part of the Underground Railroad. David McKay directs the Historical Society in the city of Milton, where one of Wisconsin's Underground Railroad stations still stands.
This is the Milton House itself here. It was a stagecoach inn, one of the early links in Wisconsin's transportation network.
The road in front of the Milton House is still heavily traveled, but with a different kind of horsepower. Cars have replaced carriages on what's now State Highway 26. In the 1800s, as many as 25 stagecoaches came to the Milton Inn each day, where McKay says runaway slaves slept in the cellar.
Okay. We're now in the basement of the Milton House. This is the room where the fugitive slaves would have hidden out for a while. We are directly underneath the dining area. They would have had to have been very, very quiet, but they would have stayed here, probably on a bed of straw, because you couldn't put a mattress down here. That would attract too much suspicion.
If slave catchers started searching the inn, runaways would head for safety in the station master's nearby log cabin. The two buildings were linked by an earthen tunnel 3 to 5 feet high. The tunnel is now big enough to walk through and is lit with electric bulbs so tourists can follow in the footsteps of escaped slaves.
It's a very narrow passage, only about 1.5 feet wide. If you were a fugitive coming in here, it was dark, it was often cold, it was often wet.
Most frightening, says McKay, slaves didn't know what was waiting at the other end. It could be the barrel of a shotgun. Slaves not turned in for reward were sometimes shot for sport as they exited the tunnel. Stairs at the end of the tunnel led to the living quarters of Joseph Goodrich, a Milton man who helped slaves escape.
It took a tremendous amount of courage to get into that tunnel. You have to focus on the fugitives themselves and understand the courage that they had to do what they did, even to get to this point.
Similar real-life dramas played out on the pages of Cheverini's work of fiction, The Sugar Camp Quilt. She's taken bits of history and pieced them together for a story. McKay says that's similar to how historians work. Sometimes, he says, they have to literally use scraps of information to piece together the past. For instance, they know slaves escaped through the Milton House because it's written down.
That's the documentation we have. That scrap of paper, it's about 3x6, 3x7, describes a fugitive named Andrew Pratt, who was born a slave in Missouri. He came up the Rock River Valley and ended up staying here in 1861.
McKay says most stories about runaway slaves were passed on orally because it was too dangerous to write them down. Now those stories are being retold, both on the pages of fictional accounts like Cheverini's and through tours of the Milton House, which help unlock the door to the past.
This here is the
Shanae Mills, Wisconsin Public Radio.